Afternoon, because this is your nap time. And many of you take advantage of that. And so I'm going to try to help you a little bit. I'm going to preach a little bit, and then Dave's going to come lead us in the next song. Then I'll preach a little bit more, and he'll come and lead us in the last song. How's that? But here's what else will help you. Turn to the passages I refer to. And there will be quite a few. If you turn, you've got to do some work. And it'll help you stay awake even as we go through this. So we're in Deuteronomy chapter 12, and I want us to read, follow along as I read verse 31. The Bible says, "Thou shalt not do so unto the Lord thy God, for every abomination to the Lord which he hateth have they done unto their gods. For even their sons and their daughters they have burnt in the fire to their gods." Now, who would have ever thought that God's people could ever do something like that? Burn their sons and daughters in a fire to their God? Who would ever think that could take place? Not us. No. No, we would never do that. And surely when God is telling them this, they're going, "You don't need to tell us that. We would never do that." Well, whoever would have thought that women would one day march to kill their babies while they're in the womb? Who would have ever thought that anybody would do something like that? And then that it would be not only legal, but encouraged. Who would have ever thought that? Who would have ever thought that homosexuality would be celebrated? And then that sodomite marriage would be legalized? And then looked upon favorably? That we'd even have Pride Month. Who would have ever thought? Who would have ever thought that parents would take their children to the library to listen to a story hour by drag queens, by perverts? Who would have ever thought that something like that would take place? Who would have ever thought that transvestites and their lifestyle would be celebrated? And that we would call what they do science? Who would have thought that any would believe that a man could become pregnant? And call that science. Who would have ever thought that an American's right to speak his mind would be squelched on social media? I would have never thought that in my teen years. Never. Who would have ever thought that you would be called a terrorist for speaking your mind today? Who would have ever thought that protesters would have been thrown into an isolated jail cell without a speedy trial for something they called, wrongly so, an insurrection? Who would have ever thought that would take place in America? Who would have ever thought that the cohabitation of a man with a woman would become the norm? Even among professing Christians. That there would be such a glut of unwed mothers today. I was reading this past week, this little snippet. This is not the United States that our parents and grandparents knew. During the mid-20th century, American children were still allowed to read from the Bible and pray. Abortion was illegal. 75% of American adults ages 18 and above were married, compared with 50% today. A little over 5% of American babies were born to unwed mothers in the mid-20th century. A new statistic on motherhood recently released by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, if you can trust what they say, says that in 2020, 3,613,647 births were registered in the United States. 1,464,121, or 40%, were to unmarried mothers. That's today compared to 5% mid-century last century. Who would have ever thought? So, you go back to Deuteronomy chapter 12 and verse 31, and that would be unthinkable to the Jew. We would never burn our children to a god. And yet, they eventually did practice that very abomination. Burning their children to a false god. Here's one of the passages I ask you to go with me to. 2 Kings chapter 17. 2 Kings chapter 17. Follow as I read verses 15 through 17. This is giving a summation of what the children of Israel did at the end of the northern kingdom, the kingdom of Israel. 2 Kings 17:15. And they rejected, this is speaking about Israel, they rejected God's statutes and his covenant that he made with their fathers and his testimonies which he testified against them. And they followed vanity and became vain and went after the heathen that were round about them, concerning whom the Lord had charged them that they should not do like them. And they left all the commandments of the Lord their God and made them molten images, even two calves, and made a grove, and worshipped all the host of heaven, and served Baal. Verse 17, and they caused their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire, and used divination and enchantments, and sold themselves to do evil in the sight of the Lord, to provoke him to anger. They caused their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire. One more passage. Jeremiah 32. In Jeremiah 32, it says this in verse 35, they built the high places of Baal, which are in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to cause their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire unto Moloch, which I commanded them not, neither came it into my mind that they should do this abomination to cause Judah to sin. You know what? It doesn't happen suddenly. Something like this doesn't happen all at once. You've heard of how to boil a frog. Anybody here know how to boil a frog? You get a nice big pot, put some nice warm, maybe cool water, and you put the frog in there. But what the frog doesn't know is that this pot is up on the stove and there's a fire underneath it. When he's first in that water, it feels so good and he swims around just enjoying himself, probably doing some backstrokes. Just enjoying himself, but the water is increasingly getting hotter and hotter. And as the water warms up, so does his body. And he's, well, this is okay. I don't mind saunas, you know. And I don't mind a steam room. And this is just okay. But after a while, that frog is boiling. And he's gone without even hardly knowing it. You know, here in Deuteronomy chapter 12, we see that the way to boil a Christian is what you'll find, first of all, in verse 30. We read verse 31. Go back to verse 30 of Deuteronomy chapter 12. The Lord had said, take heed to thyself that thou be not snared by following them after that they be destroyed from before thee. Here's the part I want you to see. And that thou inquire not after their God, saying, how did these nations serve their gods? Even so will I do likewise. You see, it starts with a kind of an innocent inquiry. How did they do this? You know, you come in and you're starting to destroy everything that they've done, and you see the idols and you kind of get curious. Wonder why they did this and how they did this. And they start inquiring. You see, that's the first step. You start asking questions about how they did it and why they did it. Not because you didn't want to do it, but because you wanted to see how they did it. Why did they do that? So the first step in boiling a frog, boiling a Christian, boiling a child of God, is curiosity about sin. Then you begin to tolerate that sin. Then you begin to accept the sin. Then you begin to accommodate the sin. Then you begin to promote it, and then you practice it yourself. And that's why God takes you to that first step. Don't everything they have, you completely destroy it. Dr. Bob Jones Sr. used to say, back of every tragedy in human character, there is a process of wicked thinking. Yeah. You know of somebody who all of a sudden, you think, went off the rails. I'm telling you something, it didn't happen all of a sudden. There was a process behind that. And the way to keep from that from happening, folks, is to walk with the Lord today and every day. But here in Deuteronomy chapter 12, Moses declares a sin that no Jew thought they would ever commit. Notice how it's written again. I read it here in the mid part of verse 31. Have they done unto their gods for even their sons and their daughters? For even their sons. It is literally translated this way. For they even burned their kids. The unthinkable transgression. But it's not unthinkable if you do not obey as instructed earlier in the same chapter. Go back to chapter 12, look at verses 1 through 4. If they had only kept the statutes and the judgments, if they had only destroyed all the places that God tells them in verse 2, if they had only overthrown everything in verse 3, It would have kept them from falling. And then afterward in Deuteronomy chapter 13, the prophets who come and preach a false message, if only they had purged them from their midst, verse 5 of chapter 13. And here's how it's written, but for the Christian. Here's how Paul writes it in Ephesians chapter 5, 11 and 12, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done in secret. Let me put it this way. Your toleration last month is your direction last week. Is your inclination today is your abomination tomorrow. That's my first point, Dave. Come lead us in a song. What a place to have a song. Month is your direction last week, is your inclination today, is your abomination tomorrow. Deuteronomy 31. I want you to see the second part of what I want to point out about this in Deuteronomy 31. It says this in verse 21, and it shall come to pass when many evils and troubles are befallen them, that this song shall testify against them as a witness. For it shall not be forgotten out of the mouths of their seed. That's why he's having him do a song. For I know their what? I know their imagination, which they go about, even now, before I have brought them into the land which I swear. And then you go down to verse 30 of Deuteronomy 31, and it says, here's the song that Moses wrote. And then Deuteronomy 32 is the song. Why would God commission that a song be taught to these people? What's the first thing that comes to your mind when you're out working or something? It's probably a tune. And when you have the tune, you begin to think of the words. And so the song was taught them so that as they would think of the song and the tune would come to mind, they would think of the words that Moses had put to a song. And so verse 19 of Deuteronomy 31, Moses was commissioned to teach the Israelites a song as a witness for God against them. Why? Because Moses declares he knows what the people will do in the days to come. Look at verse 27. Moses says, I know thy rebellion and thy stiff neck. Stop right there. I can almost hear my mom lecturing me and Mike, Brad and Kelvin. I know where you guys are going. I know. I'm telling you. I almost hear that here. Moses says, I know your rebellion. I know your stiff neck. Behold, while I am yet alive with you this day, ye have been rebellious against the Lord. Now notice, and how much more after my death? If this is what you're doing today, how much more when I'm gone? Moses knew what they were going to do tomorrow by what they were doing today. You see, tolerance of sin today only increases tomorrow. Back to verse 21. God had said that he knows their imagination. You may have a different translation, or you may have a Bible note. And the idea of that word imagination is intent, your inclination. In fact, the New American Standard translates it this way, for I know their intent, which they are developing today. I can stand here on the edge, and you can tell me what my inclination is, can you not? My inclination is this way. I'm ready to fall off. But typically, if there's a drop here of 30 feet, are you going to stand here like this? I'm not. I'm going to do this. Now you know my inclination, and it's a good one, because that's foolish. But here's the inclination of so many people when it comes to sin. And if that's your position today, you're going to be down there tomorrow. Watch out what your inclinations are today. Why are we concerned about our country's future? Because of where it's leaning today. That's right. You know the direction it's about to go unless something happens. Why are we concerned about some churches? because of where they're leaning today. Why am I concerned about some Christians? It's because of where they're leaning today. How do you know where they're leaning? By what they do. Not by what they say, it's by what they do. When folks miss church for every imaginative excuse, you can't even imagine the excuses today. It's not going to take anything. COVID has provided such a wonderful excuse. And Christians have become such sissies. They miss church at the drop of a hat now. It's no big deal because of COVID. And they got into the habit during COVID. And now we wonder, why is everything falling apart today? Because people are taking advantage of it. We know where individuals are going because of their inclinations today. They're bent, if you want to put it that way. Verse 21, God knew the direction the children of Israel would go by the imagination which they go about today. It was a direction that Moses saw by their rebellion and their stiff neck. Verse 27, how much more tomorrow when he sees how much today? Verse 29, if they do today what they do with Moses as their leader, he knew how far from the way they would go after his death. Intent, folks, is not expressed with words. It's expressed with deeds. But here's the thing. How do you keep from wrong inclinations? By watching how you incline your heart today. Amen. What got Lot in trouble? He pitched his tent toward Sodom. It's interesting when you do a Hebrew word study that the word pitch is the same word, incline. When Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom, he was inclined to go the direction of Sodom. So here's the question. Where are you pitching your tent today? Where you pitch your tent today is where you will be living tomorrow. Go to this verse with me, Joshua 24:23. Deuteronomy is in the last days of Moses. Joshua 24 is in the last days of Joshua, Moses' successor. In Joshua 24:23, here's what Joshua has to say. Now therefore put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you, and look at this word, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. Pitch your tent toward the Lord God of, pitch your heart toward the Lord God of Israel. You know, you've got a really good verse that you can memorize in Hebrews chapter 4. It says this, for the word of God is quick and powerful. Quote with me if you can. And sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the discerner of the and the what of the heart? What was the last one? Intense. God's word discerns where you are going. If you would be in the word of God, you could see ahead of time. Wow, this is my bent. This is my imagination. And it is God's word that keeps you from going there. Here's another verse that you may know. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind... Let me stop there. Whose intent is what that literally means. It's the same word. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose intent is stayed upon thee, for he trusteth in thee. Concerning so many people, I have said this. Who would have ever thought he would be doing what he's doing? Who would have ever thought? Concerning so many churches, I have said, who would have ever thought that church? Concerning my alma mater, who would have ever thought? Will that be said about you one day? You see, your toleration last month is your direction. Last week is your inclination. Today is your abomination tomorrow. The unthinkable is not as unthinkable as you think. Proverbs 4:23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Folks, keep your heart with all diligence. Amen. Let's have our closing song, Brother Dave, please.